Keith and I have been had the pleasure of meeting with Samantha over the past month, and often William as well. There are turning points in our lives, milestones when significant things and changes take place. Usually they're marked and celebrated and remembered. The day you started school, the day you finished school, the day you started work, the day you finished work. Maybe you got a gold watch. I didn't. I'm still at work. A lot of these turning points have to do with change of scenery, change of situation. But some turning points in our lives are essentially relationship-based. For example, our wedding day, a milestone many of us here have celebrated and remember, a special day set aside where witnesses are invited to be present as vows are made and rings exchanged. And like all major turning points, life is not the same after that. Leaving single life behind, entering a new type of relationship. The Bible says the two become one, all based on commitments to love. What we're invited to witness here today is a new turning point in Samantha's life, a milestone which is also relational, the relationship between her and God, and it's personal. She's declaring that the love of God has found her, and she's committing herself to love and serve him in return. She is saying, I'm a new person now. This milestone is a little different because it involves a passage of water, not unlike the baptism of water Israel experienced as a nation coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea. But this baptism involves going underwater and coming up again. And the symbolism is very special. The love of God found Samantha because of the cross of Jesus. And baptism is a significant remembrance, celebration, and connection to that cross. You're going under and coming up again, the symbols of the death and resurrection of Jesus, dying to the old life, rising up to a new life. Paul says in Romans 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might be raised to a new life in him. A little earlier, Paul had said in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I like this word demonstrates. It means he exhibits it. He puts it out on display. He puts it out for everyone to see in the public eye. Before you make a public declaration here today of your love for him, Samantha, at the cross, he made a public declaration, a public demonstration of his love for you. Today is a significant milestone, a turning point for Samantha as she is baptized in water before you today, a symbol of leaving behind her old life and by faith living a new life in Jesus, a public declaration of her love for God. And we bless her in that as we're about to share that now.
I want to thank Margaret for...
And we nearly haven't got any voices. And the musos have practiced 3 or 4 times during the week, so they've got calluses on their fingers. And as we do, we're going to finish up with one song in a minute, which was chosen by Jean Foster, but also Samantha chose it as well, one called Amazing Grace. The first line goes, Amazing Grace... How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wretch? Indeed, the man behind the lyrics, John Newton, did not write those words lightly. His story is one of many throughout history that have experienced the amazing grace of God, and that no one is beyond forgiveness. John Newton was a slave trader in his early years, and openly mocked religion Newton thought himself invincible, beyond the need of God. Yet all that changed on a stormy night in a sea back in 1748. Newton would have been used to storms at sea. For most of his life, he spent it there, first in the British Navy, then transporting slaves from Africa to North America under, can I tell you, horrendous conditions. Not all the slaves made it there. But this storm was especially violent, and it brought Newton to his knees as he pleaded for the God he loved to mock to save him and his crew. Newton first felt the grace of God when he was replaced on deck by another crew member. Within mere minutes, the storm increased its rage and killed the crewman on deck. All the rest of the crew, including Newton, survived. That experience at sea planted the seed of Newton's faith, but it remained a seed for a few more years. Newton continued in the slave trade. He was agonized over that one for six more years. But upon retirement, he began to study theology. Maybe he was watched on the internet looking at some stuff. Well, back in 1748, maybe not. This is when the seed began to sprout into something much more. Newton actually became a minister and, using his life experiences, wrote the lyrics of Amazing Grace. Originally, though, it was simply part of one of his sermons, as a sort of a, let me tell you about life, let me tell you about the grace of God. But the hymn took on life of its own and was published in more than a few books during Newton's life. Eventually, Amazing Grace was put to music and became the hymn that we know today. During life as a minister, Newton became an advocate for the end of the slave trade. Newton wrote, "It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders." His stance greatly impacted a man by the name of William Wilberforce. Wilberforce attended Newton's church as a child and was later mentored by him. Newton's influence, Wilberforce's purpose, became working to the end of slave trade, and his efforts as an English lawmaker led to the release of 800,000 slaves. John Newton was a wretched man who deserved death at sea. But the key component of God's grace is that it's not earned. It is a gift made of pure, undeserved, unmerited love. Pam read to us from Ephesians 2, and in verses 8 and 9 we find, "From grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast." You can see why God used amazing grace to draw people to himself when Newton wrote it, and why God continues to draw people to himself. Near the end of his life, Newton, the self-proclaimed wretch, saved by God's amazing grace, is quoted as saying, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great saviour." Let me pray. Father, thanks for your grace. Thanks for your love. Undeserved, unmerited. But it's for anybody who is willing to receive it by faith. Father, as we've sung through many songs today, singing about your praise, your glory, as we sung about our journeys, but as we end up singing about your grace, your amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And yes, it saved a wretch like me, because I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, thank you for that grace, and we give you thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.